Look at verses 59 through 61 with me. John chapter 6. Let's read verses 59 through 61. Now these things said he. Our Lord spoke these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum, a city named Capernaum. He was teaching in the temple there. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, or heard what he just said, they responded, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" In other words, they're saying, "We don't understand this. We don't like this. Who can? We can't take this." That's what they're saying. Verse 61, "When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured, he said unto them, Doth this offend you?" All that he'd said, and those who were seemed to be his disciples. He said, "Does this offend you, what I've said?" Verse 62, "What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" What is going to happen when you do, he said. Verse 63, "It's the Spirit that quickeneth. Flesh profiteth nothing." Now, he goes on. Now, he said, "Does this offend you?" And down in verse 66, look at verse 66. "From that time, many of his disciples went back," or that is, they quit following him. Walked no more with him. They turned around and said, "We don't like this. We can't take this. We don't understand. We don't like it. And we're leaving." And they left. What did he say? What was it that he said that they said, "That's too hard. We don't like this"? What was it that offended them? He said, "Does this offend you?" What was it? The same things that offend men and women today. The same things that men and women today say, "That's too hard. We don't like that. Can't take that." In John chapter 6 here, he tells who God is. He tells who God is. He tells what God's will is. God's sovereign will. God's sovereign will, not man. He never asked one person in this whole chapter if they will. He talked about God's will, sovereign. He talked about his own absolute power over all flesh. He talked about his own absolute power over all flesh and the souls of men and women. He talked about his particular redemption. That is, that he came to save a particular people whom God chose. And he did it. That's what he said. And they hated it. And it's no different to that. No different to that. Now, our Lord, in John chapter 6, our Lord had just fed, look back at verse 14. Our Lord had just fed 5,000 men. There were women and children too. That means there could have been as many as 10, 12, 15,000 people, persons. But he just fed all those people with 5 loaves of bread
two fish.
That's amazing, isn't it? He did that. All right, and they saw it. Everybody saw that. And they said in verse 14, then those men, when they'd seen the miracle that Jesus did, this is of a truth, that prophet. They saw this miracle and they said, this is him. Yeah, this is him. They saw a miracle and said, this is him. This is the Christ. This is that prophet. This is him. In verse 15, look at this. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king, says he departed, he left quickly, went up into a mountain. They, in other words, all these people saw this miracle. This is him. This is the one we've been waiting on. Jesus is king. Jesus is Christ. Jesus is the prophet. Jesus is man. Let's make him king. And all of them together, let's take him, see him on David's throne in Jerusalem. Let's take him to Jerusalem. Crown him like they did, our fathers did David. This is the king. Let's make him king. Because look what he did. It says Christ got out there, left, hid himself. And I have to stop right here a second and deal with it. Make him king? He would not allow them to make him king. Why? Why should he? He already is. But he's not until men make him. Oh, yes, he is. Way back years ago, before the world began, before there was a human being on this earth, there's a king on the throne. His name was Jesus the Christ, reigning, ruling, born king. Where is he that's born king? They don't make him king. Now, the reason I say this is because men like to use this statement today. Why don't you make Jesus Lord? Have you heard that before? No, you don't make him Lord. He already is. He as comes a time when he makes you to understand that I am Lord. But you don't make him Lord. You don't make him Lord. I thought about it. We have a president of the United States now, don't we? What's his name? We do have a president. His name is, I'm very serious about this, his name is George W. Bush. Why is he president? Because God Almighty, before the foundation of the world, predetermined that he would be president of the United States, irregardless of the count. All right, but he is president, right? All right, there's some people out there saying, he's not my president. Oh, isn't it? When will he be your president? When we decide. Is that right? Is that right? Hey, this is a good illustration, Dan. All right, here's a bunch down here. Now, we've decided we're going to coronate him. We're going to inaugurate. Here's a bunch down here. Well, we finally accepted the fact, and so we'll have our little inauguration. You think George will show up? We'll have a little inauguration down here. We decided, George, to let you be our president. And we're going to have a little, we're going to crown you. You think George would go down there? The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court has already sworn him in. Well, that's a good illustration, isn't it? Now, I tell you what, even for those who do not accept him as President of the United States, I tell you when they will accept him. I tell you when they will acknowledge him. I tell you when they will beg him to be their president. If they commit a felony, that person commits a felony, and they're in prison, say on death row, there's one person in all the land who can say, you're free to go. There's one person
with all authority, with the executive privilege, which can say, I freely pardon you, absolve you of all your crimes. That's the President of the United States. You let that person get on death row, totally dependent upon the mercy and the goodness of the President of the United States, and that one who said, he's not my president, will say, please, Mr. President, you are my president. Please, would you please pardon me? Oh, Mr. President, sir. And get on their knees at that. You see the point I'm trying to make here? Everyone whom God the Holy Spirit works upon, all these rebels, are you not my Lord? This is salvation. It's to bring that person to death row. Bring that person down to death row where they see, I've got to have mercy at the hands of this one. He is Lord. And I've rejected him to this day. Oh, please, Lord, remember me. They don't make him Lord. They come to the realization, Brother John, is that he is Lord, isn't he? And I'm accused of high treason. I think that's a pretty good illustration. And I'm glad it all happened that way. I think it all happened that way so I could use that illustration. Also to show that God brings the counsel, man's counsel to naught. It doesn't matter what man said. Who's going to be in office is who he determined. That's a good illustration. Well, let's make him king. No, no. You're not going to make me king. I already am. Why would he want to wear that tin crown? When the very sun, moon, and stars are his crown. Huh? Why would he want to sit on David's puny little throne in Jerusalem when he sits on the circle of the earth? Well, the next day, the next day, something else happened. Next day, they found him across the ocean, across the sea, and nobody saw him get in a boat. They saw his disciples get in a boat and go across the ocean, and he stayed there. And the next day, they all traveled across, and there he was. They said, this is him. Got to be him. And over again, these things happen. I was going to have you turn, but I'm behind time here. There were several places in Scripture, in John, Gospel of John, it says, well, many believed on him. They saw the miracle. Look at verse 26. John 6, verse 26. The Lord said to them, after he went across the ocean, after he fed the 5,000, after he walked on the water, verse 26, he said, you seek me not just because you saw the miracles. But here's the real reason. You ate the loaves in the field. You got your belly full. You seek me because you need your belly filled. That's what he's saying. You seek me for what you can get out of me. That's what he's saying there. And it's no different to that. It's no different to that. Most are religious for what they can get out of God. Oh, they get in a mess. They get in a financial mess. They get in a moral mess. They get in this kind of mess. The marriage is bad and the home and they're about to look. Oh, God! And perhaps, maybe, something miraculous will happen. And they get out of that mess, and oh, they get religion now. Jesus did it. I know he's Jesus. He healed my child. I know he's the one. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Why? Because he healed my child. Because I was a drunk, and now I'm not. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. But
then if you say the things that he said right here. Now, this just happened to me. I was talking to a fellow on the phone. I did what I told you not to do. I argued with this fellow for about an hour on the phone. And a miracle. He was a drunk and he got saved and this and that and the other. And I began to tell him what our Lord said, the things that our Lord was saying. And you should have heard what he was calling me. You should have heard the things he was saying to me. And see, these believers on Jesus, Brother Henry. Oh, yeah, he's a miracle worker. Yeah, we know he is. And after he said what he said, they said, "We don't like that one bit. We're not going to have it. You're not our Jesus. You're not our Lord." Oh, yes, he is. Well, all right, let's look and see what he said. Okay. All right, he said, "You got your belly filled." Now, that offended him. "You seek me because what you can get out of me." Well, they said, "Show us a sign. Show us a sign. Do something special," they said. He said, "I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. Not going to do it." They said, "Moses did." He said, "He did not. Moses didn't do anything. No man ever has or ever will do a miracle. God didn't." Well, they said, "We'll believe you. Show us and we'll believe you." You know, our Lord never did anything to prove to somebody who he was. Our Lord never performed a miracle to prove to anybody who he was and to make them believe who he was. Never. Now, these things did. He's a man approved of God by signs and wonders and miracles, but he didn't do those things to make you believe, make somebody believe who he was. No. He didn't go around trying to make anybody believe him. So, you understand, Brother Sam? Well, there's Sam. I want him to believe. So, watch this, Sam. No. No. His word is his power. It's his word. Well, I've got to go on. Verse 36. Look at this. Look at verse 36. He said, "You have seen me and believe not." Now, listen very carefully, okay? He said, "You see me, don't you?" "Yeah, we see Jesus." "There you are. You see me, don't you? Perform miracles." "Yeah, and we believe who you are." "No, you don't. You believe not. You see me, don't you? You see Jesus. You see a man. You saw a miracle, don't you? You believe?" "Yeah, we believe." "No, you don't." He said, "No, you don't." "We do too." "No, you don't." Now he said, "Now listen. Now listen. This is what I say. Now listen to what he said. Let's see if we believe." Verse 37. He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Now, we need to look at that whole verse, don't we? Not half of it. "All that the Father giveth me." Look over at John chapter 17, would you? John chapter 17. You have it? John chapter 17. All right? The Lord is talking to his Father here. He's not talking to men. He's talking to God. He's talking to his Father here. And it's written for us to read it. But he's not asking anybody anything. He's just talking to his Father, stating facts. All right? He says in verse 2, "As thou hast given him," this is Christ speaking to God the Father, "you have given him," that is me, Christ, power over all flesh, that he, that the Son, should give eternal life, salvation, to who? As many as let him, as many make him Lord, as many will as accept him, as many will receive it in their heart, as many will open the door when he starts knocking. As many as thou hast given him. Look down at verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Verse 9. I pray for them. I'm praying not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. They are mine. And verse 10. All mine are thine. They're your sons. You chose them. You elected them. You adopted them before the foundation of the world. You gave them to me in an agreement. You gave them to me to come to this earth and to save them. No one else but them. They're your sheep. You gave them to me. I came to redeem them. And that's the Father's will. All that the Father giveth me. And all that the Father gives me shall come to me. They shall. They shall come to me. They shall believe. It's not of themselves. No. It's God that worketh in them. It's according to the working of His mighty power. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Faith. They believe. They come to Christ and they believe that He hath power over the souls of men. They come to God to believing that He elects whom He will. And they bow to His sovereignty. They don't make Him Lord, Brother Roy. They bow to the fact that He is. They believe. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. They believe. No questions. No arguments. They believe that God is God, choosing whom He will. That Christ is Christ, saving whom He will. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, what a wonderful verse this is. Huh? Him that cometh to me, whosoever believeth. Believes what? Not just Jesus. Not just Jesus. He believes He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. That God is God. That God chooses whom He will. That's His right as God. That's what makes Him God. They believe. Whosoever believeth should have everlasting life. And I will in no wise cast them out. No wise. No wise. For no reason, ever cast them out. Or, verse 38, read with me. He said, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but to do the will of Him that sent me. All right, what is God's will? What is God's will? The Son of God is about to tell us. I hear all these preachers telling us that God's not willing. God's not willing. This is God's will. You need to know the will of God. This is the will of God. What is it? What's the will of God? Now, listen very carefully. Because it says in Isaiah 46 that He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. That's what it said. That God does all things after the counsel of His own will, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, you can't do that. No, He says, if I will it, I will do it. That's God's will, all right? God's will is absolutely sovereign. You believe that? Do you believe that? All right? This is the Father's will, then. Verse 38. I came down to do the will of him that sent me, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, A double M, every single person he has given me, every single person he chose, elected, and gave to Christ to come and save, all which he hath given me, every one of them, this is his will. Don't lose one of them. Don't lose one of them. But I should lose none. Raise them all up at the last day. Bring them all back to glory. Every single one you, that I give you, that I choose, you go down there and you die for them. You pay for their sin. You live for them. You make them righteous. You come back, and after this is all over, you present them to me. Every one of them. Every one of them. I'll raise them up to the position of son. I'll put them all. They'll all be with me in glory. All your, my children. Every one of them. All. A double M. Bring them all to glory. This is the Father's will. Well, God's not willing that any should perish. Half of 2 Peter 3:9. God's not willing.
Whatever God's not willing to do, it won't be done. Whatever God wills, will be done. This is the Father's will. That of all that he gave to Christ, he lose nothing, but raise them all up at the last day. And it's exactly what the Scripture says that he will say in Hebrews, Behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. Here they are, all of them,
to the glory of God the Father, and the glory of God the Son, and the glory of God the Spirit. All. Every one of them. So, do you see what he's saying? Huh? Is it clear to everyone in here? God chose a people and gave them to Christ. Christ came down here for the express purpose of saving those people. Not everybody, those people. This is God's will, that those people whom God chose, gave to Christ, be saved, every one of them. And he will. He has and he will raise them all up, save them all eternally, the last day. Well, the people were starting to, I don't know about that. Who's talking here? Is this up for debate? Start murmuring. Can you hear the murmurs? But what if? Whosoever will. You hear that murmur. He goes on. Verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me. This is God's will that sent me. That everyone which seeth the Son. Now what does it mean to see the Son? Look back up 36 again. Verse 36. You see me, but you don't believe me. They saw him. No, they didn't. Everyone that seeth the Son. What's he talking about, Dan? They saw him. And I quote, we quote this quite a bit over in Hebrews where Paul said, Now we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels. We see a man named Jesus that walked this planet. His name was Jesus. Yes, there was a man named Jesus, a flesh and blood man named Jesus, who walked this planet. Many saw him. Many saw him live. They saw his miracle. They saw him die. They saw the fact that he died. They saw the fact that he rose again. 400 people at one time, Deborah, saw him alive when they saw him dead. Were they saved? They believe he lived. They believe he died. They believe he rose again. Fact. Were they saved? No. You see me, but you don't believe. What is to see him? Well, the joy is to see his glory. It's to see his glory. You remember when Moses said, Lord, show me what? A miracle. He already shown him plenty of miracles. Lord, show me a sign.
He already showed him plenty of signs. Water out of the rock,
serpent on the pole,
bread from heaven. Show me
what?
Your glory. Who you are. And that's when he said, all right, I'll show you who I am. Not what I do, who I am. Sovereign, I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. Sovereign mercy. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Sovereign grace. To whom I choose, that's who I am. It's my glory. My glory. Well, you see me. That's what it is to see the Son and believe on Him. Verse 40, this is the will of Him that sent me, of everyone which seeth the Son, see Him in His glory, and believeth on Him, who He is, may have everlasting life. And I'll raise Him up the last day. The Jews murmured. They murmured. They murmured. Well, oh, who he is, where he came from. Why does he say he came down from heaven? Why does he say, I'm the bread, you got to eat me? Why does he say this and that and the other? He's the water, and unless we thirst for him, what in the world is he talking about? He's just a man. We've got him figured out. We've got him figured out. Nothing hard to figure out. It's Jesus. There he is. He's seen. You believe his miracle and all that. It's Jesus. Got to believe more than that? Yes. Believing Jesus doesn't save you. It's hitting the dust before God. It saves you. Not seeing Jesus, it saves you. Seeing God manifest in the flesh. And why? Then why God became a man? Not just believe the fact. Why? See that he came down here to do for me what I can't do. Well, they began to murmur. Murmur in verse 43, our Lord said, murmur not among yourselves. Murmur not among yourselves. Verse 44, no man can come to me. Except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and I'll raise him up at the last day. No man can come to me, he said. Except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Everyone the Father gives me. You can't come. He says, come to me. And you can't. No man can. Except. Boy, that began to make them mad. I can do what I want. I've got free will. No man can. No man can come to me except the Father. Draw him powerfully, supernaturally. Draw him. Draw him. Oh, my. Why can't man come? Why can't man come? Huh? Why can't man come? He said, no man can come except God do something. Why? Let me give you an illustration. All right? Just about five chapters later, our Lord comes to a place and there's a tomb. There's a tomb and there's a dead man in that tomb named Lazarus, okay? There's a dead man in that tomb, Lazarus. Now, he's Christ's friend. Christ loves him. Scripture says it is. In that same chapter. The Lord loved Lazarus. The Lord knew Lazarus. The Lord came to save Lazarus. God gave Lazarus to Christ. All right? He's in that tomb. Our Lord comes to the
to the tomb. There's a big old stone in front of the door. Big stone. Why, sure hope, Lazarus. What did he say? What happened? The Lord say, did Jesus say, I want to save Lazarus. He won't let me. Did he knock on the stone's door? Lazarus, can you hear me? Lazarus, if you'll just move this stone. Lazarus, if you'll just take the first step. Lazarus, I want to and can't unless you let me. Would you please? I want to be. Did any of that happen? Lazarus could not come. Why? He's dead. He's dead. What could be plainer, huh? Why do you think the Lord, that happened a few chapters later? To illustrate what he said there in John 6. Huh? No man can come to me. Except he be quickened, made alive by the Father, drawn by the Father. Well, how? The Word. He said, my Word is quick. My Word is life. My Word is life. Whoever I speak my Word to lives. I got ears, but they can't hear. They can't hear. They can't hear. Spirit. They have eyes, but they can't see my glory. They see Jesus, Barbara, but they can't see the Lord Jesus. They got a heart, but they can't receive the Word. Their heart is stone. They don't like this. They don't like this. They reject this until He breaks the heart and says, you do like this, don't you? The power. He said, my Word is my power. What Word? What He's saying right here. This is His power. Some of you in here right now, these very words were the words that God used to show you who He is. You murmured, didn't you? Nancy, didn't you? You murmured before, didn't you? I don't like that. Until one day, by the word of His power, this word, these words, He just said, I am who I am, aren't I? And you, all of a sudden, well, you are, aren't you? He didn't ask you anything. He didn't invite you, did he? He revealed something to you. The word of His power. The Lord came to that tomb and said, roll, stone. Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. He that was dead, Scripture says, came forth. And Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, and you hath He quickened who were dead. Dead. No man can come. Why? He's dead. What could be plain? He's dead. Right, John? Were you dead? Were you quickened, John? Were you calling on the Lord, John? I wasn't either. I was dead. And they murmured, ooh, you don't like that. How have you know I did accept you? I made my decision. I did. I'm... Murmur not. What's the sense of murmur? This is a fact. Who I am. And I quit with this. He said in verse... 63. Verse 63. He said, it's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. And you remember verse 60? They said, it's the hard saying. We don't like this. We don't like this. We don't like this. Hard. That's too hard. That's hard shellism, isn't it? No, it's Christ's Word. That's Calvinism. No! Calvin wasn't born until about 6,000 years later. No, 1600,
1,600 years later. It's not Calvinism, it's Christism. Anyway, we don't like it anyway. Then you're not of God. He is of God, heareth God's word. I said unto you, look at verse 65, therefore said I unto you, no man can come unto me. That's why I said. He said, you believe not because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. What voice? Anything he says, they hear it. Everything he says, they believe it. Not only believe it, they love it. Why? Because he said it. Not because it's logical, not because they can understand, because he said it. They believe it. A man said to me, he said, what do you think about John 3:16? I said, I love it. I love it. I love John 3:17 too. I said, do you know what that says? No. I love it all. Sure I do. They believe. They love. Verse 65, therefore I said unto you, they believe not. See that? It says they believe not. And he knew, verse 64, he knew from the beginning who it was that believed not. He knew. Foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Well, if I believe that, why preach? That's why Christ preached. If I believe that election, I wouldn't preach. Christ did the electing, and he preached. That's why he preached. He came down, he said, the Father gave me a people, and they're going to hear my voice. I'm the shepherd. I come looking for them. And this is how they know, and this is how I know them, and they hear from me. I call them. Not invite. Not invite. Sovereignly, powerfully, call them. With what? This right here. Not to accept Jesus. No. With this. I am that I am. This is the powerful call. It operates on all the sheep and they begin to hear his voice. He is who he is, isn't he? And they come. They come. They believe. They bow. They bow. They need. They love. They love. That's why he said, you don't believe. You see me. You don't believe me. You murmur. My people don't murmur. My children, they don't murmur. They're all taught of God. Oh, every one of them are taught of God. Oh, great is the peace thereof. Our Lord's quoting Isaiah. Great shall be the peace. So they have great peace in knowing he's God. And he said, that's why I tell you, no man can except it were given him of the Father. And at that time it says many, verse 66, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. We won't have that. We don't like that. We're never coming back to church again. We hear what you're saying now. And I've seen this happen so many times. So many times people attend for a long time and hear these very same things. And all of a sudden, do you mean to tell me that you're saying that God elected the people and God doesn't love everybody and God loves his people and Christ died only for those people? I don't like that. And you never hear from them again. Did our Lord argue with them? What did he do? Look at verse 67, real quick, all right? You need to see this. He turned, then Jesus said unto the 12, oh, the 12. That's about all that's left. Probably that's about all that's left is 12. Where'd they come from? Patrick, where'd they come from? Christ chose them. And he kept telling them that, Patrick, from this day on. He said, you did not choose me. I chose you. And he turned to the 12 and said, will you go away too? You going to leave too? Does this offend you? Is this hard saying? Will you go away? What did, oh, Peter. Here's one time Peter spoke up when he needed to speak up.
He said, Lord, first thing, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. What you're saying is life. It's not just doctrine. It's not, Peter didn't say, well, yeah, we understand that they're on the basis of, you know, this and that and the other. And that. It's life. It's what brought us to life. Lord, I was in a boat, and you came by one day. I was in a boat. Didn't know God, didn't care for God, heard of Jesus, didn't give a flip. Fishing. You, Lord, of the master of the ocean, came by and said, follow me. And I followed you. Life. Not a doctrine. Life. And what he was also saying is, I love this now. Everything you say is not doctrine to me. It's this way I was made alive, and it gives me life. You have words of life. This is something to live by and something to die by. Go through life with these words, knowing that God's on the throne. All the Father gives will come, and they'll know why he's guessing. And he'll raise them up to life. Oh, I live by these words. Give me life and sustain my life and uphold my life. And this is words of life. It's not doctrine. It's not something we argue or debate. This is what absolutely created life in us. And that's what we live by. The just shall live by faith. The Son of God. What about you? Are these hard, Satan? Does this offend you? What if you see the Son ascend up to where he was? And we will. All eyes will see. All these murmurs and complainers say, what? We didn't make him look. Oh, you're going to see him as he is. Going to see him. Not just Jesus. Whew. That's a consuming fire. Well, let's sing in closing. Number 16. I think that's... Yes, the Lord is him. Number 16. Stand with me, please. Number 16. Okay, let's sing the first and second verses only. Number 16. Trust his truth.